Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Psychic Channels with your host, psychic and shamanic priestess, Candace Loring Butterfly, on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Psychic Channels. I'm your hostess, shamanic and psychic priestess of grace, Candace Soaring Butterfly, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number tonight is 914-338-1493. You can also visit our page at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader to send us an instant message. These are both ways for you to call in tonight to receive an on-air reading from myself or our guest, or to ask any questions from our very special guest this evening. We have Anya McAndrew with us, and Anya is a psychotherapist, ordained high priestess, and teacher who resides in a shamanic retreat community in the Smoky Mountains of West North California. Anya, for the past 13 years, Anya has facilitated several versions of the shamanic priestess process and the shamanic Magdalene mysteries around the U.S. and in Costa Rica, integrating a lifetime of therapeutic work with women. Anya is also a master shamanic astrologer, shamanic breathwork TM practitioner, and a Mago couples therapist. Anya, thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. I'm so excited to have you with us. How are you this evening?
I'm good, Candace. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. I hear you very clearly. Thank you.
Great. I just wanted to make one correction. I don't live in West California. I live in Western North Carolina.
I'm sorry, Smoky Mountains. Right in front of me. It was right in front of me. I don't know why I read California. Thank you.
It's all right. I just want to put a shout out for the Smoky Mountains of Western North Carolina. So,
thank you very much. And one of the other things that I forgot to mention in the introduction was, as we're speaking with Anya this evening on Psychic Channels, if you'd like to check out her page and what she offers, or if you'd like to get a hold of her after the show for all of the many services that she offers, you can find her at the website goddessontheloose.com. So, Anya, you agreed to be with us this evening to talk to us about the solar feminine, a concept mm-hmm. that's really, really new to me. And I just wanted to thank you very much for being on the show to talk about that and to just talk a little bit about why I chose that subject, actually. Generally, when I have a guest on and I think of a subject, I'm usually picking something that I either feel very passionately about or maybe something I'm a little bit curious about, but I really feel like this concept of the solar feminine is something that's been popping up and coming to me. And I've just been very, very curious about it. And actually, the first time that I heard about the solar feminine, I heard about it through you when we were doing a women's call-in series. And mm-hmm. to be honest, when you had first mentioned the solar feminine, my original reaction was one of great resistance. I wasn't too keen on this idea of solar feminine. I've been kind of comfortable with my lunar feminine. And I got curious about that, and it kept coming back to me and coming back to me. And so I'm really glad to have you here. And I know one of the things that you had offered for this evening is you had said that any of our listeners who's aware of what their sun sign and their Venus sign is that you can kind of speak to how that solar feminine is working in a personal way in their life. Is that correct?
Yes, I can do just a little bit on that with those two planetary signs. And how mm-hmm. they relate to the feminine and the solar feminine.
And this is a little teeny taste of some of the shamanic astrology work that you offer. Is that right?
Right. Yes. I've been a shamanic astrologer for many years. And it actually, it's interesting because shamanic astrology is not a sun sign astrology. So I'm doing something really different here. We really focus more on the moon as the lineage, not really the moon in the sense of the lunar feminine, but the moon in the sense of where we've come from. And we focus mm-hmm. on the sun as our life force energy. So when we look at the sun in this case, for women, the sun is the life force energy, the solar energy that's been coming to us for many years now as we've been aligning with Galactic Center, and the sun has been so active that is actually powering our Venus, which is our new goddess or the new feminine that we're stepping into in this lifetime. So if that makes some sense. And when we come to that point, Candace, we can actually look at your chart first. We can look at your sun and your Venus and talk about that first as kind of an example. So this, as I said, this is kind of new for me to do. Usually I'm looking at the moon and I'm looking at Venus and I'm looking at the ascendant. But in this case tonight, I think it'll be fun just to look at how the sun, that solar energy, relates to the feminine.
So Anya, with this sun sign and the solar and the Venus coming together and how you're able to do some of the readings for women around this, I was wondering if, for example, if maybe you could, if we could talk about my sun and my Venus and see how that works together.
Right, right. We can do that. Yes, we can do that right now. So tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell me
So my sun is in Scorpio and my Venus is in Capricorn.
Right, right. And I have sun in Scorpio as well. So your life force energy, which is Scorpio, which when we talk about Scorpio and the divine feminine, we're looking at the witch, the sorceress, the passionate woman who's very connected to the energies of Earth, the magic of Earth. And that sun energy is something that powers your Venus in Capricorn, and Venus in Capricorn, the new goddess that you are stepping into in this lifetime, which is Capricorn, is the feminine that is actually queen of her own domain. She's a manifester. She gets things done. She creates radio shows. She does all kinds of amazing things in her life to build the new structures for the new world. And that Scorpio sun that you have really powers that Venus from a perspective of, you know, we're not going to just be a businesswoman here. We're not going to work for a corporation. We're going to be focused on what it is that we're really passionate about and what it is that we really desire for manifestation and for the new world. So does that make some sense to you?
That does. That does make some sense, absolutely. It makes some sense for me personally. It makes a lot of sense. And that's what I really liked about the shamanic astrology that I was exposed to through you, which is very different from Western astrology, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is. We really work with the archetypes, and my teacher, Daniel Giammario, if you want to know more about shamanic, if your readers or your listeners want to know more about shamanic astrology, just shamanicastrology.com is the place to go. And there's lots of great information there and teachings and free materials.
That's awesome. So that gives me a bit of a personal idea, and for anybody who's listening that wants to call in to get an idea about how this energy works for them personally, I think that this is such a cool tool. One of the first things that came to me when I've been doing a little bit of studying and meditating around the solar feminine that I had as a question that I was wondering, I don't know if you've encountered this question or if it's something that you've worked with on your own, but is what exactly, how do we define the difference between the solar feminine for a woman and her inner masculine energy?
Well, the solar feminine, you know, if we look at a perspective on yin and yang, if we just kind of take it out of the masculine and feminine for a minute, and we look at yin and yang, and we look at, let's just look at the yang energy for a minute. There's yang yang, and then there's yin yang, right? Yang yang, just in terms of the astrological archetypes, would be a man who ran masculine energy, who was, say, let's say Gemini. Let's say he ran a lot of Gemini, or he ran a lot of Leo. And a yin masculine or yin yang would be a man that, let's say, had a lot of cancer or a lot of, let's say he had Cancer and Taurus, ran those two archetypes. Then if we look at yin, we have yang yin and we have yin yin. Okay, so a woman who was more yang yin might have, again, a lot of fire and air, let's say this time Sagittarius and Aquarius, and a woman who was yin yin might be running, let's say, a lot of water and earth, so let's say Virgo and Scorpio. So you can look at the spectrum of masculine to feminine or yang to yin in that way, that it's not really so clear cut. And I personally believe that we as women are all stepping into our solar energy, and it doesn't really matter if we're running yin energy or yang energy. It doesn't really matter what those archetypes really are. We still are all stepping into a kind of leadership or a kind of, how do I want to say, sovereignty is a good word, a kind of sovereignty that is really powered by solar energy. That the lunar energy is wonderful and will always keep that connection to the moon, will always keep that connection to our gentle nature. And some women absolutely run that kind of gentle yin energy much more than other women. And some women naturally run a lot of yang energy more than other women. But that all of us are moving into a time where, no matter what the archetypes are that we're carrying, we're really standing up tall. We're really standing in our power. We're really straightening up and moving forward in our lives. And we're not as afraid anymore. And if we are afraid, it doesn't matter. You know, it's that quote from Audre Lorde, which is, when it comes to being in service to your mission, it doesn't matter whether or not you're afraid. And I think that's what women are experiencing these days. It's like the game is up. We are no longer willing to stand back and let the men do it all. We're not willing to be dominated or victimized or allow our children to be, or our animals or our planet to be dominated or victimized any longer. And we're seeing this happen all over the world. I mean, women are standing up. And I think one of the most recent demonstrations of that was the V-Day event that happened. Women Against Violence, and how many women stood up in so many different parts of the world during that event.
Absolutely.
And I actually wrote about that, and Sahara, one of your priestess sisters, actually helped me write about that on my website this past month.
That's right. That's one of the newest blogs that's on your site right now. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's the one that's on the top.
Yeah, the article is beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're speaking with Anya McAndrew on Psychic Channel this evening, and we're speaking about the solar feminine. To learn more about Anya and the services that she offers, you can find her at goddessontheloose.com. To call in this evening to receive an on-air reading from myself or our guests, you can call us at 914-338-1493. You can also write in an instant message to us by going to blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader. We actually have a caller on the air right now, so I'm going to go ahead and welcome Lisa to the show. Lisa, thank you for calling in. You're speaking with Candace and Anya tonight. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Lisa, Florida.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you? How can I help you this evening?
I'd like to see if you can just give me a general reading.
Absolutely. Is there a subject that you wanted?
I had Friday, and I fell on my, affected with my son's birthday. I fell and fractured my arm, so I broke my arm, so I'm trying to recover from that.
Absolutely, yeah, we can take a look and just see what's coming through. And I can tell you right now when I'm connecting through, one of the things that was coming through for me was that it seems like you have perhaps been journeying through a bit of a purification process, so maybe a bit of letting go. And some of this letting go that I feel connected to is maybe that there was a tendency to be extremely kind, extremely gentle, extremely sweet. And I get a sense that some of this has been coming up to be looked at to perhaps let go of and to look at being able to be connected to your love and being able to be connected to compassion, but in a way that was maybe a little bit less about pleasing others and more about coming into your own power and being able to stand firmly. So almost as though there's been some new boundaries that have been brought up for you to look at about who comes into your personal space and who doesn't. And one of the messages that I feel coming through for you right now at this time really strongly is just about really connecting to the heart and the intuition, to be feeling into the people that you would want to be having in your life rather than the people that you feel maybe obligated to have in your life. I get a sense that you're a really caring and compassionate person, but that maybe some of that energy has been going out more than it has been coming in. And so for this time, I'm really sorry to hear about the accident that you were in, but I'm feeling that this is a really good time to just take some space for yourself and really offer yourself some of that love and compassion that you've been able to offer others, and even to just take some time to tap into your creativity, to really connect down into your creativity and to be able to express yourself and reconnect with yourself. So that's some of the stuff that's coming through for me just in a general way for you right now, Lisa. Thank you very much for calling in. I hope that was helpful. And again, you're speaking to Candace on Psychic Channels. So, Anya, when we were talking about this, the yin-yang rather than the masculine and the feminine, I really was resonating with what you were saying because I remember when I first was called to work with the divine feminine, one of the first things that I wanted to do was I wanted to learn about the ancient goddesses. And I was really, really surprised and confused at the time to see that there were so many solar goddesses. And that there was also lunar gods, and I had been curious about where that information had gone, because predominantly when I stepped into, I didn't think anybody taught it to me. I think I just assumed that the lunar aspects were what it meant for me to be feminine, and I really shut down my solar aspects for a while. But when we look back, there's a lot of solar goddess archetypes that are out there, and there are lunar god archetypes that I've seen that are out there too. So
yes,
when you work
absolutely.
With,
I think we're going to be giving, you know, as we come into our solar energy, we're going to be giving men more permission to move into that yin lunar energy. And they need to have, we all need to be able to have a full spectrum of possibilities for expression. And
yes.
I think that women have been just as limited as men have, and men have been just as limited as women have during patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. And so was it during the patriarchy that we lost this connection to the solar feminine? Like, where did this idea, because like I said, when I look back in history, it looks like the idea of the feminine running solar energy is not something that's new and not something that was unheard of in the past. So what happened to this knowledge that we had with the solar feminine?
Yeah, I think the solar, you know, there are some good examples of the solar feminine in Greek and Roman mythology, for instance, but those are patriarchal goddesses. And those goddesses, like Athena, were, you know, regardless of who they were in ancient times, in pre-patriarchal times, were sort of conscripted to serve the patriarchy, you know, during the Greek and Roman time. So even though they've been, you know, strong goddesses, they have probably been reworked to serve patriarchal causes like war, which has not been part of, you know, not been part of the goddess culture particularly.
Yes.
Not that there haven't been things that we've had to get done and things that we've had to defend, but for the most part, you know, we can look at probably, you know, many, many thousands of years of goddess culture that was fairly peaceful, and yet we still had solar goddesses.
Yes.
We still have had fire goddesses. Fire goddesses, for instance, are solar goddesses. Our Lady of Guadalupe, who was previously the goddess Tonantzin, was an Aztec goddess. And
Pele, she's a strong solar goddess as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, she's not necessarily about war. I mean, she's very passionate. She's really probably very, very much connected to Scorpio. But she definitely has a temper, and she creates new land with that fire that she is and that she has.
That's right. And actually, when you bring up war, it was one of the questions that I was going to ask you about. Is when I was looking into the fire archetypes that we have in astrology, sometimes some of the language that we use to describe the archetypes is we can say like warrior or warrioress. How does that look in regards to the solar aspect if it's not connected to maybe some of the war and destruction that we have been exposed to in the patriarchy? What is the warrioress archetype?
I think the warrior has been co-opted into the soldier during patriarchy, and that the true warrior is one who defends, one who stands and who protects. And I think there have been lots of ways that the warrior and the warrioress have stood and protected through the ages. I think in these times, the warrior's Amazon is probably most potent in the spiritual activist and the feminist. And you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a political activist in order to be a light activist, an activist for the light. And I think that what we're finding now more than ever is a blending together of the idea of standing in our truth and standing in our power, not necessarily having to label that political, and at the same time connecting with our values, connecting with our spirituality, connecting with our hearts. And I think that's the new, you know, that's the new warrioress. You know, a good modern day example of that is Marianne Williamson.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, she's a kick-ass goddess. I mean, she definitely
she is.
And, you know, she is a warrioress. There's no doubt about it. She calls it as it is, and she's fearless, really, when it comes to doing that. So
she is, and it's interesting because I can see the solar and the lunar aspects in her work also.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we can move back and forth between them. And I think as Gary was speaking about the masculine and the feminine last week on your show, that, you know, it's the same for the feminine. We can move back and forth, and we can still, you know, feel our femininity and know that our femininity can absolutely embrace the solar energy at the same time.
Absolutely.
And that when men can feel that too, it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Yes. And I get to be, I'm a bit of a stickler with words, so you're really inspiring me right now. So when we're talking about, when I was confused about the difference between the solar feminine and the inner masculine, and we talked about the yin and the yang and the solar and the feminine, do you find now that you incorporate into your language more terms of solar and lunar rather than feminine and masculine? Is it more of each sex or each person becoming more integrated with solar and lunar energies rather than feminine and masculine? How do you work with that wording?
I think that we can work with feminine and masculine and not necessarily mean men and women. We can also work with the words yin and yang, and we can also work with the you know, the solar and the lunar terminology. I like being really creative with language, and I think the more that we can free the feminine and the masculine energies from physical bodies, you know, the better off we're all going to be. That I don't really want to throw out masculine and feminine. I like those words. I like being a divine feminist, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But part of being a divine feminist is incorporating my feminist self from the '70s, along with my, you know, my connection, my deep connection to the divine feminine. So,
right,
you know, it's a way, you know, it's a way we can play with words and make up new terms and, you know, just really kind of evolve our language.
Absolutely. Because when we were talking about that warrioress, that warrior energy, I was thinking about, I work with children also, and I was thinking about how I've been really looking to encourage this boy that I work with who has some really strong, what we would call masculine energy, looking to help him to channel that energy in a really conscious way without squelching his masculine energy that was coming up. And I was like, well, perhaps it was the solar energy that's coming up, because a lot of the play is about, you know, shooting the bad guys and killing the bad guys and catching the bad guys. And what we were talking about the other day was about being able to use that energy, just like what you were saying, to protect. And so I'm thinking even with children, being able to recognize if it's solar or lunar energy that's coming out of them, because I would say his sister is probably just as solar as he is. It just looks different in her than it does in him.
Mm-hmm.
She's not necessarily as much into shooting games, but she is definitely, like, on fire, determined, willful, beautiful, bright girl. And so it's interesting to see solar energy in a boy and a girl, but just see how they do express themselves differently.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. And if we could, you know, if we could actually really affirm the archetypes that children carry, if, you know, astrology was accepted, you know, children tend to do their moon when they're young. And they don't shift into the rest of their chart until at least seven. And then they can start, you know, then there's other archetypes in their chart. For instance, for boys, they're Mars that they'll start shifting into. And so we call the moon for men or boys, the moon the old god. It's the old god that they've been. And so they tend to run that because that's what feels comfortable. And then later on, they start shifting more into their masculine, or at least incorporating that new archetypal energy of the Mars.
That's fascinating. So, thank you, Anya.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Anya McAndrew on Psychic Channels this evening about the solar feminine. To learn more about Anya and the services that she offers, you can visit her site at goddessontheloose.com. To call in this evening to receive an on-air reading, you can call us at 914-338-1493. You can also instant message us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader. And so, Anya, actually, I had a little bit of a story that kind of turns into a question for you that led up to this topic on the show also. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine about a month ago who is pregnant, and her and her partner were positive that they were being called to give birth to a son. And all of the psychics that she went to, the Chinese medicine doctor, everybody was feeling boy, boy, boy. She was feeling boy. And she got the ultrasound results, and lo and behold, she's having a daughter. And without having ever heard about the solar feminine, she was having a conversation with me, and she said, you know, I just felt it so strongly, but it's a little girl, and the name that they're naming her is Solar. And I had said to her, have you heard of the solar feminine? And she said, no. And that's where we kind of started this conversation.
Wow.
And, yeah, she was just so fascinated. And so I was on her behalf, I wanted to say, ask you, like, for these girls that are coming in with this strong solar energy, how can we really nurture that in them? How can we raise these, I mean, for all of us, we want to nurture it, but for mothers who are bringing in some of these solar daughters, how can we really encourage that growth?
I think... telling the stories of the solar goddesses is certainly one of the ways to do that. But also, I think it's going to be so important for us to find the present day goddesses, you know, to introduce our daughters to women like Marianne Williamson and her work, and to bring back some of the ancient archetypes like the priestess archetype and give them lots of choices. So as they move into the archetypes that they carry naturally, that they'll have lots and lots of creative ways to express those archetypes based on the current day models that we have. You know, I used to, when I've been facilitating priestess circles for, I think I'm going on my 14th year now, and I used to say to women, you know, we are not goddesses, we're priestesses, and we are conduits for the divine feminine. And since the end of the year, I'm not saying that anymore. In fact, I'm really encouraging us, because I feel like it's time for us to identify ourselves as goddesses. Those of us who are walking a spiritual path, who are awake, who are alive, who are you know, ready to create the new world, that we are the goddesses, and we're the goddesses of our day. I mean, how courageous of us to actually be here at this time.
Absolutely. That's really, really beautiful. That gave me chills, just that idea of being able to step into claiming ourselves as goddess.
Yes. And we have our stories. Each one of us have stories of coming up through patriarchy and making it to this point. I know so many people who have left the planet, and I'm sure you do too, or are leaving the planet, who, you know, and we're the ones that are here. We're the ones that made it, you know. And, and we're still here. We're still kicking, and we're more determined than ever that in our lifetimes we're going to see, you know, we're going to see something different on this planet. And I think that qualifies us, Candace. I really do.
Absolutely. How inspiring.
So
Well, we're going to get ready to go to break right now. Well, when we come back from break, we'll continue the conversation on the solar feminine with Anya McAndrew. And we're going to get into talking a little bit more about the fire goddess archetypes as well as the shamanic fire archetypes. And so when we come back from break, we do hope that you call in with any questions that you have to our call-in number 914-338-1493, or you can go ahead and write us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader. And while we're on break, feel free to go check out Anya's amazing site, goddessontheloose.com, to see all of the wonderful services that she offers. We'll be back in 3 minutes' time.
If you would like a reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363. Or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com. A reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363. Or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com. Like a reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363. Or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com.
Psychic Channels. I'm your hostess, psychic and shamanic priestess of grace, Candace Soaring Butterfly, and we're speaking with Anya McAndrew this evening about the solar feminine. To find more information about Anya, you can visit her site at goddessontheloose.com. To book a full-length appointment with myself or any of our other gifted psychics or mediums, you can find us at mypsychicreader.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can also go to facebook.com/mypsychicreader or twitter.com/mypsychicreader. To call in this evening to receive an on-air psychic reading, you can call in to 914-338-1493, or you can write us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader with any questions you have. And Anya also is able to offer any readings to any of our guests that know what their sun and their Venus sign is to learn a little bit more about how the solar feminine affects each one of us individually. So welcome back, Anya. Thank you for being with us again. I really liked what you were talking about this idea of being able to offer stories about the solar feminine to women or to girls as a way to be able to, I'm assuming, to be able to relate and to be able to continue to grow into our solar aspects. When women begin this work, what goddess archetypes do you suggest that they look into or that they study to be able to identify this within themselves?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there are lots of, I'm thinking of a book that I have called Goddesses in Every Girl. And it's a wonderful reference for young girls. And I don't have it down here in my library. I could just walk upstairs and see if I could find it, because it's a really great resource. And I think we want to be careful when we're diving into these goddess stories. We want to be careful, just like with fairy tales. You know, we've got a history on this planet of violence and destruction,
yes,
and war, and that's what's come down to us. We don't have a lot of information about the pre-patriarchal goddesses, and I really do believe that a lot of the goddesses have been co-opted by patriarchy. So, you know, for instance, Bridget is the Celtic keeper of the sacred flame. Well, who knows who she was before then? You know, before she became Saint Bridget. And what the sacred flame really is or was, you know, maybe that's all that was actually left of women's sexuality, you know, through patriarchal times, is that little sacred flame. So, you know, we can look at some of the goddesses, some of the solar goddesses even. I think Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the goddess Tonanzine, T-O-N-A-N-Z-I-N, is a really good one to look at. Our Lady of Guadalupe is who really replaced the goddess Tonanzine. And it's an interesting story because, you know, when that young Aztec youth passed by this old temple to the goddess Tonanzine that was in ruins, she appeared to him. But when he went back to the bishop, she was automatically interpreted as Our Lady.
Wow.
And so she became Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the bishop was convinced through the flowers that Tonanzine put in the young boy's cloak to rebuild her temple, but it was rebuilt as a church to Our Lady. So, you know, I think that the goddess has done whatever she needed to do through patriarchy. And that Mother Mary, in all of her forms, is a sort of overlay for the previous goddesses. And I think our daughters need to know that. I think they need to know what some of those permutations are. And that there's probably been some... We know that goddesses have been named and renamed and renamed and renamed through cultures. So I think it's really up to mothers and what their interest is, and giving our daughters an array of stories that are stories that will inspire them. Kuan Yin is seen, for instance, as a lunar goddess, but she was really courageous. She was an amazingly courageous, probably a real woman. I mean, her hands were cut off by her father. I mean, there's just horrendous things that happened to this supposedly lunar goddess. Maybe she wasn't such a lunar goddess.
Yes, yeah.
You know? So maybe it's about really rethinking the divine feminine in some ways so that, you know, ultimately it's, you know, we know that ultimately it's not feminine or masculine, that the divine is both and neither.
Yes, yes.
That,
absolutely,
you know, perhaps it's the same way with the feminine, that the divine feminine, that she's, you know, she's both solar and lunar. She has solar aspects and lunar aspects, as we have solar and lunar aspects within us, and that those are just descriptive words, you know, that allow us to be more creative than we've been. That it's really the full spectrum and all places on the wheel that we get to choose from, and that our daughters should be able to choose from.
Yes, and when you work with women and you're talking about the solar feminine, do you find that there's other women besides myself that at first feel a resistance to this idea of embracing their solar feminine?
Absolutely. Just as women have resistance to embracing their inner masculine, you know, and women have a resistance to doing anything that they're afraid of. Or that's not familiar to them. I think that we've been so caged throughout patriarchy that it's sometimes difficult for us to want to embrace anything that's new for fear that we might have to do one more thing. We might have to carry one more thing. And, you know, that's a problem that we have as the wounded feminine, that we're you know, in this period of just shucking that energy off and saying enough, you know, I'm not doing anything that I don't want to do anymore, or I'm doing less and less until I can get to the point that I can say I'm not doing anything I don't want to do anymore. So as we embrace more and more of our healthy masculine, as we embrace more of our feminine, more of our yin feminine and our yang feminine, our lunar feminine and our solar feminine, that we have more energy. That's the whole
idea. Absolutely, yes. And it's interesting because I know for myself with the solar aspects, I ran really, really strong solar energy throughout my life. And when I started feeling called, I just remember one day, like I started off my path in a really solitary way, reading a lot of books, doing a lot of meditation, not really a part of community. And one day it just dawned on me that I wasn't reading anything about women. And I just started craving this feminine energy. And from my own perspective, I just started to name my solar aspects as being masculine aspects. And I really started to shut those down. And I think that when I look back on it, being at such a young age, I didn't really know how to channel. I have such a strength of ambition and determination, and nothing's going to stop me. And it just felt so intense. And then when I started feeling called to this feminine energy, there was something so soothing and so gentle that I don't think that I was even able to conceptualize this idea of being able to integrate the two together.
Right.
And so I wonder for women maybe who do feel frightened about awakening too, because it is definitely a much different feeling for myself viscerally when I'm in my solar than when I'm in my lunar. What kind of tools or advice do you offer to women when they're just starting to open up to this energy?
Well, I think that, the whole, going back to this whole idea that even if let's just say that you're here to step into, let's say, Venus in Cancer or Venus in Pisces, which is traditionally a lunar energy, okay?
Yeah.
And let's say that your sun is in Leo, okay?
Yeah.
If your sun was in Leo, then that solar energy would be really powering your move into Venus in Cancer or Venus in Pisces. So there's all kinds of ways that you can look at this, that you could be running all yin archetypes in your in your own psyche or your astrological chart, which for me is a mirror of the psyche. And still not stepping into your power, still not stepping into who you really are. So the solar energy that we're all receiving, regardless of what kinds of archetypes we're carrying, we're all receiving these solar downloads. We are being changed by the sun.
Mm.
And feminine, and they're every teacher on the planet practically is saying it's time for the feminine. It is time.
Yes.
This is the time for the goddess to return. So, it's not so difficult for us to really imagine that we are here as women to step into what it is we are here to do and what it is we are here to be. And that, yes, if you have not been taking good care of yourself, you may need to go into retreat. You may need to experience a time of self-nurturing, a time of sitting back and receiving, learning how to be in a more lunar kind of feminine energy. But it may take your solar energy to be able to do that.
Right.
It may take great solar strength and power to be able to say, no, this is my time. No, this is what I want to do now. And that's the solar energy in its purest sense, is the ability to step fully into who we are and what it is that we need in order to be who we are. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Actually, I had a really, really great visual, too, of just that ability to be able to take that space and take that time and be in retreat and almost like a complete circle of like just shining light surrounding myself as this solar energy is able to support me to create the space that I need, too. We're speaking with Anya McAndrew on Psychic Channels this evening. Our call-in number is 914-338-1493. You can also write us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader, and you can learn more about the services that Anya offers and read some of her work at her site, goddessontheloose.com. So when you were talking about stepping into your power, Anya, that's predominantly one of the gifts of being in the solar, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the solar energy, from what I understand, it also connects us to our sexual energy and our ability to, like, our abundance and our sense of success and ambition in the world. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it can be all of those things. I don't think it's any one of those things. I think it's all of those things. I think that we're being activated. That all of humanity is being activated. And that women have been, you know, the piece about the lunar feminine is that women have been doing their work in the dark, pretty much. We've been doing our work under the light of the moon, or even in the dark of the moon, because we had to hide. And so coming into the light of day is another metaphor for the solar feminine. There, you know, metaphorically, if we're speaking about metaphors, you know, what happened last June as Venus crossed the face of the sun was absolutely, you know, amazing, is amazing metaphor for this solar energy. That usually when Venus makes her transits into what are known as the underworld, which is behind the sun, we cannot see her.
Right.
And that's why we call it the underworld. But in fact, she crossed the face of the sun, which she does twice in an 8-year period, but then she doesn't do it again for another 104 years. So we're really integrating that solar energy, that solar feminine that manifested for us on June 4th of 2012.
Absolutely.
We're coming out into the light, you know?
It's so interesting to me, too, because I don't know why I didn't connect it to it. I had been reading about the Venus transit, and I had been reading your work leading up to it, and actually that was the time when we had the women's conference call that we were doing also. And up until June, I had really been walking through my own, probably the second dark night of the soul that I had, and it was lasting for months. And when I looked back on it, when I talked to people, I said, there's something that happened in June where it just all turned around for me, and I don't know how I didn't connect those two occurrences.
Interesting.
But I had a really, really, it was June that I remember thinking, like, something just switched, and it was that Venus transit.
Powerful.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I love the fact that she was in, you know, she crossed the face of the sun in Gemini, too, which is a really fun archetype. You know, the Gemini archetype is, you know, all about, you know, the eternal girl, the feminine that can really go anywhere and be anything. She's a wanderer. She's a gypsy. She's a storyteller. She's playful, alive, energetic, mischievous, the creative muse, the shapeshifter. So to me, and because Venus was in that sign as she crossed the face of the sun and started a new 2.5-year cycle, that is the energy that we're integrating, the feminine energy that we're really integrating as a collective on the planet. And so that gives us all a bit of a lease on life, a new lease on life, and a sort of lightening up, no matter what archetype we're running. That we get to be a little freer.
Absolutely, and I really liked what you were talking about with that solar energy as being a coming out. Also, mentioning Marian Williamson is one of our modern day goddesses. At the beginning of her book, A Woman's Birth, she writes about this collective pain that women can carry from the wounding that happened during the patriarchy. And I know for myself, I was quite surprised because I was raised with really, really broad beliefs. I was raised with my mother's side of the family was predominantly metaphysical. My father's side of the family was very open too. So I really was blessed in the fact that I don't feel that I, in a personal way, had a lot of dogma that could have really instilled fear in me. And yet I still found that when I was called to this work, especially when I entered the priestess process with you, Anya, I had some of the collective fear from the past come up. And there was something about being able to come forward as a priestess, being able to come forward, working with my psychic gifts, that there it felt like a definite stepping out of the dark and into the light. And it felt a bit vulnerable for a while. And it still can feel vulnerable sometimes, stepping out into the light. Do you find other women encountering that as they start this work with you?
Oh, yes. It comes up all the time. You know, that's one of the reasons that we have the foot washing ceremony to really honor that passage. And, you know, why we, you know, always show the film Burning Times.
Yes.
And talk to women about what it is that actually happened to us. I mean, very few women really even know that there was a woman's Holocaust. So, and men don't know about it at all, really. I mean, we all kind of have this vague, you know, remembering that there was something called an Inquisition. But we don't understand that it actually, you know, involved as many as 9 million women over six generations for, you know, a couple hundred years. I mean, it just, it's unbelievable. And we need to bring that into consciousness, not so that we can be horrified by it, but so that we can actually heal it and release it.
Yes.
And recognize that it runs us when we don't understand what those fears are about. So
absolutely, and healing on both sides. Like when we had Gary on the show last week, and he was talking about the pain that men can carry around too, feeling uncomfortable sometimes, these conscious men that we have in connecting to their divine masculine essence, because that often unconsciously that energy can be connected to, unfortunately, the term masculine can become synonymous for some people with patriarchy, which it's not one of the things that I really loved about the work that you offer is you talk about how that patriarchy can exist within women just as much as it exists within men.
So, men and women, we're all healing and we're all experiencing this solar energy. It's not exclusive to women, but I think that women are basically being more comfortable standing in their power, whatever that is. I mean, that power, we're not just talking about women, you know, running businesses or being in corporations or doing things out in the world. We're talking about women, you know, standing up in their families and, you know, helping their parents die in powerful ways
and
helping their friends die and pass and move through illnesses and, you know, taking leadership positions in their families and in their children, you know, speaking up in their children's school systems and just everywhere and, you know, and everything that women do. It's not, you know, we're not talking politics or corporations. We're talking everything that women do.
That's right. And with the solar energy that we're talking about and how it's coming in as the solar feminine, it is definitely a fresh wave of solar energy that we're experiencing. And I know you touched a little bit about how some of that energy has maybe been misdirected in the past. What is that energy looking like for the men that we have on the planet, having the solar come in as solar feminine energy? How is that changing with the men?
Well, you know, I think, you know, what comes to mind immediately is what happened in the U.S. in the last election cycle with the old Republican patriarchy and the young women who basically stood up to those old men. And I think that you know, one of the things that's happening for everyone is we're all just kind of standing up, and the truth is being, you know, shown forth the truth of the lies, the truth of the deceptions, the truth of what how people have suffered. Everything is showing up. And so I think it's showing up for the men as much as it is for the women. And we're all seeing, you know, the man behind the curtain. And you know, maybe the man behind the curtain is getting a little, you know, empowered as well to maybe cross more boundaries than he would normally cross. So maybe the patriarchy is actually going too far as well. And that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we all come out of the shadow, you know, for the good of all of us.
Absolutely.
And that sometimes it looks pretty good. Sometimes it feels pretty good, and sometimes it looks pretty dreadful. You know, it's not very pretty. But it's that sun shining the light on all the shadow.
And illuminating, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Anya.
Yes.
We're speaking with Anya McAndrew on Psychic Channels at Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number this evening is 914-338-1493. You can also write to us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader. And to learn more about our guest that we have on this evening, you can find her at goddessontheloose.com. We're speaking about the solar feminine, but the services that Anya offers are vast. So definitely I suggest everybody check out her website. And actually, one of the things that I was going to ask you, Anya, was this is a little bit off topic, but I think it can kind of weave into what we're speaking about right now, is you also are a shamanic breathwork worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking when I was talking a little bit earlier about some of those fears that I had about really reintegrating the solar feminine, do you find that breathwork is able to help people to kind of clear away some space to allow the solar energy to come up in them? Have you worked with the solar feminine in connection with the breathwork that you offer?
You know, not specifically to bring forth the solar energy. I think breathwork, one of the things that I love breathwork for is that it clears away the debris. It illuminates the shadow if the shadow is buried. In other words, if there's trauma or there are blockages, shamanic breathwork can really help to bring those blockages or those shadows to the surface. And then in subsequent breathwork sessions, it can help to clear them out of the field. So it's a cleansing process for the psyche and for the emotions. And the combination, and this is altered states work for your listeners who don't know what it is. It's altered states work. It's based on, you may have heard of rebirthing or Stan Grof's holotropic breath work. It's a specific kind of breath work that we do here in Western North Carolina, and now it's all over the country.
And I was amazed. I was amazed at how much it shifted for me. The first time I did shamanic breath work with you, I remember kind of the same way that sometimes people speak about hypnosis. I remember thinking, I don't see how laying down and breathing with these women is going to do much. And I would say within the first minute, I was like snapped. And it shifted things for me so immensely. And I think that's why I had thought about it, because, you know, doing my own work, which this is, you know, I've found psychology to be vastly helpful for me, but trying to do my own work with my own psyche or whatever to shift fears or shift old beliefs sometimes does not work at the same pace as the work that I had done with the breathwork with you, which is where that idea of kind of moving some of those old fears or blocks out of the breathwork had come with me.
Yes, us Scorpio types are really good at it too. We really love we really love to dive deep into the psyche. And it's a very ecstatic thing for shamanic types.
So I have another question for you, which I don't know if this is something that you've maybe thought about or if it's, I don't know if it's something that you've discussed before, but like I said, when I've been looking at this solar, lunar, feminine, masculine, I know that one of the things that I learned about through studying David Data is David Data would often talk about polarity in relationships. and how if in your relationship with another person, one person running predominantly feminine and one person running predominantly masculine helps to keep a healthy polarity in a relationship. Do you find that that's the same with the solar energy, or can you have two partners that are both running predominantly solar energy that are still in their masculine and feminine and have that be something that's still conducive to having polarity in a relationship? How does it work?
I think that you can. I think that you can have two partners that run a lot of solar energy. And, you know, there are going to be times when it's important to back off of that.
Yes.
You know, when Gary is, you know, I had an experience this past weekend where Gary was starting a new men's circle. And he was upstairs. You know, they were doing their work, and every once in a while we hear some, you know, express and release or some, you know, some floor pounding or something going on. But I was perfectly happy being in my lunar energy. It was great. I didn't want to run any solar energy while he was running that energy upstairs.
Right.
It was perfectly fine for me to be in a supportive role. And I think that the same is true for him. When I'm with a circle of women, we have a temple. Mm-hmm. We have a two-story house, and we have a temple upstairs where we do our work. It's about 500 square feet. And then, you know, we live downstairs. And he's very supportive of me. And and so we just kind of balance each other out. But there are also times when you know, we're in the same space and we kind of take turns with that solar energy,
right.
You know, if we're presenting together. And, you know, I think we talked about that when you asked about the radio show. You know, I said, well, it'd be great for you to interview us separately first, you know.
Yes.
So I think it's possible to have two solar types in relationship with each other. And I know that for Gary and I, being two solar types, I'm a Leo rising, he's a Capricorn rising, and that Capricorn energy is very, you know, it's very much the leader, and so is Leo.
Yes.
That we just kind of take turns. And
nice.
We're not, you know, I think the thing that needs to go away is competition. If there's competition
Absolutely.
In the relationship for center stage, or there's, you know, one ego trying to trump another, then there's going to be problems with that solar energy. But I think we're all going for the same things now. You know, we want to, you know, we want to be working on our shadow. We want to be clearing out our negativity. We want to build this new world. We're not interested in doing the same old thing anymore. So I think it's easier for people who are conscious.
Yeah, and I like that point that you made about the competitiveness too, because that's one of the things I was going to ask you about, is when you work with women, you take some really great time addressing the shadow between women and how we've been conditioned through the patriarchy to compete with one another. And one of the things that came up to me when I was thinking about this vast variety of solar feminine energy that's coming in as a part of me had this kind of like response, because I was like, what's it going to be like to be in a room full of solar women? And then I was thinking about like envisioning what that can look like to have women that are in their strength and shining side by side working together rather than having that competitive nature, which I think is an old thing that's been ingrained in us. And so how can women work with that? How can women work not only with their own solar feminine energy, but work with one another in a way where they don't feel threatened by another woman's solar energy?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And and one of the women that really, really focuses her solar energy in that direction is Lucia Renee, who wrote Unplugging the Patriarchy. And her website is also really worth exploring. And it's by the same name, Unplugging the Patriarchy. And her book is fabulous as well. And, you know, the effort that she and her sisters, the project that they took on, which was, you know, diving psychically into, mystically into the patriarchy and actually unplugging it, was a collaboration between her and her sisters, who were all trained as mystic warriors by their male teacher in the 70s and 80s. It's really a fascinating journey. You would love it, Candace. You would love that book.
That's beautiful. And, I'm going to order that.
And she talks a lot about collaboration between women and how it's really time for women to collaborate with each other. And she had a number of women teacher friends and colleagues that would assist her in doing, podcasts and teleseminars and in really, feature them and showcase them so that people who felt aligned with one teacher could go to that teacher. And, women who felt aligned with another could go to another. And I think it's really important for us as women and as leaders to find ways to co-create with other women. And we can do it in lots of different styles. We all have different styles and we all run different archetypes. I prefer to do my work alone, in the sense that I prefer to sort of blaze my own trails. And at the same time, when I get to a certain point, I'm working a project right now with three women who have apprenticed with me, and we're working on a project together. And we each have our own sort of departments or gifts that we offer. So we all have different ways of working, and we need to know how we like to work rather than trying to sort of slot ourselves into some cubbyhole that doesn't work for us.
Absolutely. That's a really good point, because that's one of the things that I found also is, as a child, I can remember asking my teachers when we would have group work if I could do the group work on my own. They would say, you understand, this is four people's worth of work. And I would get horrible grades, but I just liked to work on my own. And I thought that meant that I was somebody that didn't work well in groups, but that's not the case. I find for myself gathering with other women and spiritual work with other women and women's circles have been something that have just fed me so much that I wouldn't have realized about myself before. And this idea of women collaborating together, I really love that idea too. I remember at one of our women's circles, we watched a documentary, and I wish I could remember the name of it right now. I don't remember what the name of it is, but it was about women. And one of the women had said in it, she said, if you're the brightest light in the room, you need to go find a new room to be in. And I remember that inspired me so much, because their whole premise behind it was to be seeking out women who had lights that seemed like they were even brighter than yours, so that we could continue to be inspired by each other rather than this idea of being threatened by one another. And that was just such a beautiful way to express it for me. It's something I held on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really beautiful. Really.
Thank you. We're speaking with Anya McAndrew on Psychic Channels this evening at Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 914-338-1493. You can also write into us at blogtalkradio.com/mypsychicreader. And we do have a caller on the line right now. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Hello, caller. Welcome to Psychic Channels. You're speaking with Candace. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, my name is Missy.
Hi, Missy. How are you?
Good. Good.
What can I help you with this evening?
Sure. I wanted to know if you could give me, I was concerned, there's somebody that I'm thinking about as far as, I have a love interest, and I wanted to know what you saw as far as he was concerned.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the first thing that's coming through to me in regards to this potential interest is I get a sense that, I get a sense of his presence in your life actually offering a lot of, like a sense of magic and a sense of aliveness. And I also get a sense that connecting to him might feel as though it's a little bit of a leap out of a comfort zone for you. And that's okay. I would say that I think that this is an interesting person to be exploring, just getting to know one another a little bit with before jumping into anything. I see this person as kind of cycling with you, like going through like some close connections and then pulling back a bit. And I think that it might be a little bit of time of getting to know one another. And I would just encourage you not to be discouraged by that if it doesn't seem like something that's falling into a heavily committed relationship right away. I think that this is something that's really, really a beautiful potential for you. And I think that this phase that the two of you are in right now, that what is actually best is to really create a strong friendship with one another, which, again, is not to say that this isn't something that has the potential to develop into something romantic, even something potentially really deep and bonded between the two of you. I just see that right now in this phase, there's something really, really precious about the friendship bond that the two of you are able to create with one another. And I get a sense that this friendship bond that the two of you are going to be able to create is really going to, whether it's in a conscious way or not, but really awaken some past life memories. I get a sense that you've known each other in more than just one lifetime, and that this bond is going to be something that's really going to create a foundation for the potential for a romantic relationship to be really solid, but also to just feel, I don't have a better word for it, but just really nice. I get a sense of, like, a really comfortable ease between the two of you if things aren't rushed at this point.
Right. And actually, we used to be high school sweethearts, and we've always kept in touch over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But timing has always been, you know, I was married for quite some time and blah, 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 blah. Right now he is doing we just started communicating again like a month ago, and
mm-hmm.
he's been distant. So I didn't really know, you know, wasn't
yes.
sure what
yeah,
that was
and
about.
I think that's some of the energy that I was picking up maybe on that kind of, to me it's not a back and forth as much as it is almost like what they write about when the men are from Mars, women are from Venus, kind of that rubber band effect of coming close and pulling back.
Right.
And I would say that I think everybody gets a little bit jittery in the beginning of relationships, but like I said, I'm not picking up a sense of anybody being a player or playing games. I'm just getting a sense of like something really sweet that has the potential to bloom as long as it's not rushed. So I would just really encourage you to enjoy getting to know one another again as friends and then allowing things to take their course naturally.
Okay, so just kind of taking things slow and that's right? Just kind of letting it flow.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, really building that friendship, kind of like when you were high school sweethearts and just being able to enjoy one another and really getting to re-know one another.
Okay, so it's...
Thank you very much for calling in this evening to Psychic Channels. And we're speaking with Anya McAndrew this evening about the solar feminine. And Anya, before we get to the close of the show, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is I wanted to ask you about your own personal experience, your own personal walk with the solar feminine and how that has showed up in your life and how it's benefited you.
Well, I am a solar feminine. I have my moon is in Virgo. I have a lot of Virgo, which is the priestess. And I have a Leo rising. So, and my sun is in Scorpio, like you. So I definitely am the solar feminine. So, you know, that transmission that happened, I actually got to see the Venus transit last summer. I was actually in Hawaii where it was visible. And we were under that sun, and we got to see the little dot of Venus crossing over the face of the sun, which took several hours. And it was magnificent, and it felt like a transmission. It felt like a kind of coming home finally to myself. And my own personal journey is that I have been working with women's empowerment. I came up through the 70s and the feminist, second wave feminist movement, and I've been working with women's empowerment and women's spirituality through the priestess process and my own personal work for, you know, I think it's going on 36 or 37 years now. So,
wow.
My, you know, the transmission for me is really to pass it on, to pass mm-hmm. this work on, rather than to be out there leading the way so much anymore. I'm happy mm-hmm. to be more in the background and continue to do my empowering work, but you know, now that I see that there are so many women who are stepping up to really yep. hold space for that. So for me, part of my solar energy is to say no, is to pull back a little bit and to mm-hmm. take better care of myself. And it's really easy, it's been really easy for women to burn out in this patriarchal energy. And it's been easy. It's been easy for me to do too much, and so my solar energy really is about learning to hold my boundaries. It's also stepping into being a crone. I'm 61, and I'll be 62 at the end of this year, which sometimes seems unbelievable to me. But
unbelievable to me too. You're still full of life.
But you know, and you know, I just did a workout tape with Jane Fonda yesterday, and oh my God, talk about the solar feminine.
That woman
again, is amazing. And I know she's in her mid-70s. I know she's got to be, or at least her early 70s. She's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely
amazing.
Glowing. So
and that's interesting, because actually that led me up to one of my final questions for you before mm-hmm. we finish up tonight, too, was I've just been absolutely enamored with the crone archetype and with the crones in our world from the beginning. And I wanted to ask you, how does this solar energy play out for the crones that we have? How is this solar energy coming in to empower our crones?
I think our crones are not retiring to the wheelchair anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think that... I think they're valuing themselves. I think that's what it's about. They're interested in staying vital and alive. I think we're going to see a whole new generation of crones. And, you know, I'm mm-hmm. one of the baby boomers, too. So, you know, you can't keep us down, really.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be different for crones. And, you know, and I am one, and it's I've just actually, you know, at 60, I finally decided I would accept it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And then for all of our women listening tonight, for all of our women who maybe are hearing about the solar feminine for the first time, for all of our women that are hearing about Anya McAndrew for the first time, again, you can learn so much more about what she offers at her website, goddessontheloose.com. Do you have a message you'd like to leave our listeners with this evening, Anya?
Yes, get to know the archetypes that you carry. Get to know some of those feminine archetypes and the ones mm-hmm. that you resonate with, either through your astrology chart and a good astrologer, or through some goddess stories. There's a wonderful site out there also called Goddess Gift, where you can read about some of the goddesses and just take those mm-hmm. patriarchal goddesses with a grain of salt and look a little bit deeper. And also check out some of the resources that I've talked about, Lucia Renee, Marianne Williamson. You know, find something mm-hmm. that really activates you, that inspires you, and go after it. Go after your own divine feminine, your own solar energy.
That's awesome. And are you off? Do you do shamanic astrology charts for people, Anya?
I do. I still have a full shamanic astrology practice. And I love working with women. Women are my most favorite population. Although I have done, I actually teach shamanic astrology too, to priestesses, and I just did a men's class, which was really fun too. So, because Gary wanted to know, Gary wanted to learn from me, so we decided to do a men's class.
That's awesome. Well, Anya, you did my chart for me, and I learned so much. I mean, I had been studying Western astrology since I was 17. I've been absolutely obsessed with astrology. I just love it. But the shamanic astrology and getting to know my archetypes in the way that you taught it and then the lineage that you've learned from was absolutely transformational for me in a really real way. I mean, the relationship that I was in changed. I met the man that I was going to marry, the way that I was practicing my path and the way that I was offering my gifts. All of that changed, not just because you read me a piece of paper and said you should do this, but just learning about the archetypes from you and being able to integrate those into my life just completely opened things up for me. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for that. And for any of our listeners that don't know about your archetypes, if you want to get to know them, again, go to goddessontheloose.com and you can find a way to contact Anya. Thank you so much for being on our show, Anya. I look forward to having you and Gary back together with us.
All right. And, I do too.
I hope you have a wonderful time traveling as well.
Thank
you. We'll speak to you next month. Thank you very much.
All right, Candace. Take care. Much love to you.
Thank you, Anya. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. And to all of our listeners listening in this evening to Psychic Channels, thank you for being with us once again. I am psychic and shamanic priestess of grace, Candace Soaring Butterfly. To receive a full-length psychic reading from myself or to find out about any of our other gifted psychics and mediums, you can find us at mypsychicreader.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at facebook.com/mypsychicreader or twitter.com/mypsychicreader. This is Psychic Channels, and we are on every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We have a lovely show planned next week where we'll be talking about shamanism and animal totems. So I do hope to have you with us again next week. Thank you and blessed be.
If you would like a reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363, or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com. A reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363. Or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com. Like a reading with a naturally gifted psychic or medium, visit our website at www.mypsychicreader.com. To set an appointment, you can call toll-free 1-855-2-READ-ME. That's 1-855-273-2363.
2363, or you can email us at info@mypsychicreader.com.